Hey, it's the Real Estate Steps Podcast. Welcome to your number one resource for real estate information. Hey, everybody, here we are for another episode of Real Estate Steps, and we're here with the NBA team. It's Nick, Bob, and Amir, and we've got some great content for you today. Nick, since you know, I'm always just staring at you whenever we start.
I always
this.
Go first.
Okay, Amir. What? Oh wait, Amir's on his phone.
Let's get.
Go ahead. Let's go, Nick first.
Nick, let's set the table. Nick, what are you going
to
be talking about?
I've got three tips to sell your home for more. Okay, this is geared towards sellers.
Geared towards sellers.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's a number of things you can do to increase the value of your home, to make sure your home sells, to make sure you don't have any problems when you're selling homes, when you're selling your home. But these are the three I think are the most important. The first one.
Wait. Now, Nick, what's Amir going to talk about, Nick?
What are you going to talk about? I'm sorry, yes.
I'm going to talk about sellers too. So it looks like today's sellers episode. I'm going to talk about nine ways how to revive your stale listing, meaning a listing being on the market a long time.
Okay.
Okay, so that's with the listing. So I'm dealing with the sellers. He's dealing with the listing agents, or the sellers, the listing agents.
Right.
So good. So what are you talking about?
I'm going to talk about something that's completely off base. I think that I'm seeing this pattern because you guys usually kind of pair up. I have and I'm like out in the left field somewhere. This one is cutting edge things that are happening in the Sacramento real estate market.
Okay, cool.
That a lot of people aren't necessarily aware of.
And yeah.
So I'm going to be able to have, I've got a couple of articles out of the Business Journal that are really pretty interesting stuff. So, all right. Who should we start with, Nick?
We'll start with Nick.
Go ahead.
Well, Nick for NBA, right?
Yeah, NBA, Nick.
Here's the first thing I think you should do. Okay. And this bothers me when I see this is you see a home for sale, you look at the front of the home and it's trashy. Okay. The landscaping's not done. There's a lot of things you can do if you really want to sell your home. So the first thing a buyer will see when they visit your home is the front of your home. Okay, so it's very important to spend time improving the front of your home. You know, this article talks about, hey, you know, you may want to consider having a professional landscaper come out, perform a yard cleanup. You may want to add some colorful flowers. Remember that a lot of people looking at homes these days are women. They like to see nice things, colorful things,
mm-hmm.
And they are a large part of the decision maker. In many cases, they are the decision maker.
Right.
You know, I remember we bought a home, and as far as I was concerned, if it had this and it had that, I was happy with it.
You're good.
And I asked my wife, I said, do you like this? She goes, yeah. I go, great, we'll buy it. It's that easy sometimes.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Sometimes you may have to look at it really close. There might be a light fixture that needs to be replaced, okay? If your garage door needs replacing. Now, it could get a little pricey, but remember, you're selling your home for a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, replace your front garage door, replace a light fixture. Here's an idea. Pressure wash your driveway. You'd be amazed what pressure washing can do. I work with a guy who buys and flips homes, and one of the first things he does when he buys a home is he'll pressure wash the outside of the home.
Yeah.
And he says, sometimes you look at a home and you go, oh, this needs a painting, and he'll pressure wash it, and you go, hey, it's not so bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe just touch-ups. So there's a lot of things you can do to improve the front of your home. These simple, low-cost improvements can give you dramatic results and help make a great first impression. So first impression, very important.
Excellent.
Okay. Second thing, and I know that Amir talked about this last time, was get a home inspection done on your home.
That's right.
Okay.
Now, home inspection or a pest inspection?
Both. I recommend both.
For sellers to do that. Now, how much is that going to set them back?
A home inspection is, what, $300, $400?
Okay.
And a pest inspection is another $100.
Okay.
And there's guys out there that do both. Is that right?
That's right. So I would recommend inspectors, they're doing both because, I don't know if you knew, but inspectors, structural pest inspectors are regulated by structural pest board. So they are allowed to give the estimates.
Right.
Home inspectors, however, are not allowed to give estimates.
Right.
And because of conflict of interest, because then you may have some unethical inspectors telling you a big deal about some repairs and give high estimates, that's why they are not allowed to give estimates. Now, if you hire somebody who is doing both, keep in mind so they can put estimates on the structural report inspection And typically those inspection estimates are much higher, almost double. I always prefer I have two different inspectors. You know, one is a structural pest guy and another is a home inspector.
Yeah. And having a professional property inspection, termite inspection done, performed in advance can put your mind at ease. Okay. Also, this gives you the opportunity to decide whether whatever needs to be corrected is worth correcting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It could be a negotiating point, or it could be something when you price the home, you price it accordingly, knowing that this needs work. Be upfront about it. If you know about something, an issue with a home, there's disclosures, you need to disclose that. Okay. Mm-hmm. This way you avoid lawsuits. Okay. You don't want any of that. So it gives you ample time to decide how you'll handle these potential issues in the negotiation process.
Let me just interject here. Yes. So some of the area requires or is expected to have all reports done before the listing, such as Bay Area. For example, if you're listing a house in Bay Area, so they're expecting a seller to have all the reports.
Mm-hmm.
Sacramento is really not typical, but you know, it's recommended. Most sellers don't do the home inspection report, but at least pest inspection report.
Yeah, at least a pest inspection. Mm-hmm. I agree. And the third one, I think, is probably the most important one. And this is where the listing agent needs to sit down with the seller and be realistic about pricing the home properly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Be realistic about your home's value. Okay. A realistic pricing strategy is crucial for getting the maximum value of your home. Okay. So think about this. And a lot of people want to price their home too high. By pricing the home too high in your area, you're making the comparable competing homes in the neighborhood more attractive to your buyers.
Oh, wow.
Think about that, okay? Buyers nowadays are savvy. They're internet savvy. They go on these sites like Zillow and Trulia.
Right.
Okay? They're very sophisticated, and they look at homes for sale in an area, and they start comparing. Oh, yeah, square footage. Oh, let's look at the pictures. Wait a minute. Why is this house $20,000 more than this house?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So right away, that house, which could be your house, is out of their mind. They don't even want to look at this thing. So, you know, be careful how you price your home, and also don't price your home by what Zillow thinks it's worth, because they'll give you an estimate,
mm-hmm.
and many times they're off, okay? And they could be higher or they could be lower, all right? So the best way to do that is to get together with a realtor and have him do what we call a CMA, comparative market analysis. He's got the experience. He'll go out there, he'll look at the homes that sold, he'll look at what features they have, they don't have, and he'll give you an honest opinion. And remember that the value of a home is an opinion. Okay, when the appraiser comes out and does an appraisal on your property,
mm-hmm.
he doesn't. It's not a magic number he pulls out of the air. He looks at what other homes are doing, what homes have sold for, what homes are pending. Okay, and also what's available on the market, and he draws a conclusion. It's a matter of opinion.
Right.
So you don't want to be valued too high on that. And I know Amir has some information on that. Right, Amir.
Right.
What do you think about overvaluing a home?
Well, pretty much anything will sell. Not only houses, if you're selling cars or whatever, if it's priced right.
Mm-hmm.
You price low enough, you will sell anything. But the key is actually having a right real estate agent to sell for highest possible price, so you have getting more money in your pocket than just putting on the market for low price. Now, but if your listing gets too long in the market, so meaning right now, we talked last time, what was the average days on the market right now?
30? It's 29 was in the Sacramento area.
29. That's average. But many listings staying, we can see online, so 30, 60, 90, 120 days, looking about 3, 4, 5 months. Now it becomes a stale listing, so which means it's too long in the market, and the reason is probably price or lack of the marketing effort as well. But price is a big factor, and of course, more marketing on the end of the agent. But now, after 4 months, 3 months, it's still listing. Now, what to do? That's harder to sell unless you do major price reduction, right?
Right.
So most people think it's something wrong with the house. That's why it's 4 months in the market, right? So why is it sitting so long? Nice house, nice pictures, everything's nice, but nobody bought it. There's 9 ways what you as an agent can do to try to sell, the house at least, after 3-4 months. First one is obviously, like I'm asking every time I have a showing on my house for any feedback, just short feedback from the agents. What is your feedback about the house? What do you think about the house as a realtor, and what do your clients think about the house as a buyer? This feedback can be very valuable, so then you can adjust whatever needs to be adjusted. you know, maybe it's too much furniture, maybe it's whatever, right? More light, etc. So that feedback is very important to get back to the seller with the information so they know what's going on. Number two would be actually tour your listing like a buyer. Imagine you coming to your own listing and you're the buyer. Pretend you're the buyer. I always say, actually, if you go fishing, think like a fish. So in this case, think like a buyer and then see if the house, first impression, you know, how does it look like? How does it smell, etc. So is it too much furniture? Are the dishes in the sink in the kitchen? And is it too crowded, you know, hallways and living room, etc. So
too cluttered.
Too cluttered. So it's all this is actually first what buyers will see. Yeah, how does backyard front yard looks like? Is it grass cut? You know, all that. Number three, take fresh look on your marketing. So the house looks good now. If you have one bedroom condo, don't describe as a family friendly location, schools and parks, etc. Because you know, you will not have a family with two kids moving in one bedroom condo. On the other hand, if you have one bedroom condo, you know, just put your description advertising versus, you know, busy professionals, and vice versa. If you have a big house, four bedrooms, you know, then you go after families.
So then really kind of retailer your verbiage of how you're talking about your listing.
Correct.
And making sure that's more accurate and updated, because sometimes trends will shift even in a matter of, you know, 60 days.
True. So if your listing is close to, you know, golf course or something, you know, target and describe the golf, and then target people they play golf close to the bike trail, for example, target people they like you know, going on the bike, bicycles, etc. So all this you have to take a big picture in account to figure out how to recreate your marketing if you haven't done from beginning on. Number four, actually, many experts recommending to take new professional photos, you know, because they're from new angle, new lighting, etc. So will help to when you rebrand and recreate your listing. Number five would be stage and or restage if it's already staged. As you know, staging is like art. You have different designers, so different people have different eye, and then maybe if you change from, you know, to contemporary design or classic, whatever, so will attract different people when they come to see the house. Especially if you're using a 3D model. So 3D model is extremely powerful if you have a staged house. So then you can expose your house to pretty much 24/7 around the world. You know, people can walk through the house virtually.
I actually got a story about that just last night. The wife had the opportunity to see the house. Mm-hmm. And and it was like in the evening, 6:30 in the evening. And the husband was out of town on work. And so the agent calls me and says, oh, he's not going to be back till Saturday. Can you guys wait? And I go, no, I've got other offers. I said, well, tell you what, send him the 3D virtual tour. And she goes, oh, that's a great idea. They sent it to him. They got back with me an hour. They said, oh, he loves it. The wife loves it. We're going to put an offer in.
And you have five offers.
I have five offers. Yeah. And that virtual tour was one of the key elements in that.
Good selling point.
In other words, people are busy, and so the couple can't always show up at the same time. And so having that tour allows one person to be there. They love it. The other spouse can be elsewhere, see the tour, they agree on it, and then boom, they make a deal. And that's literally what happened last night.
Yeah, I love the 3D tour, okay, that we use, that we utilize, because unlike photos can be very deceiving, okay? They use wide-angle lenses. Mm-hmm. Your perception, your depth perception is different. You know, sometimes you'll see a photo, it looks great. You get to the house and you go, wow, this is way smaller than I thought it would be. But the 3D tour is really cool because you could walk through the house like you're there.
Right, you're there,
you can look around, up and down. It's really neat.
That's funny. There was a picture on booking.com. I know some resort and hotel in Thailand. They put a picture of the pool. Looks like an Olympic-sized pool on the photo. But when you go there, so it's like 5-6 people can down. Very small. But if you don't close, you know, from a different angle, it would like huge, right?
Yeah.
That's power of 3D model, so virtual model, because it's not only three-dimensional model, it's a virtual model, so you can use 3D glasses if you have and then walk through the house like in virtual reality. So that's a future. Pretty much every hour listing, and we put 3D model because, you know, I'm always saying trying to sell the house without 3D model today would be like selling the house without pictures 10 years ago. How can you sell a house without the pictures, right? So people wanted to see.
I had a buyer come in from Reno. They looked at the house yesterday. They came to look at that house because they saw the 3D model.
Nice.
So, I mean, so you're going to get people like, you know, in the Sacramento area, what do you want to do? You want to get Bay Area buyers, right? That 3D model is the perfect vehicle for the Bay Area buyer.
Right. And in Bay Area too. So you want to get Chinese buyers? Yeah, that's perfect. You know, people from China can look the 3D model without flying in.
Yeah. Overseas buyers. Yeah. Absolutely.
Next one, ways how to revive your still listing would be actually consider taking the listing off the market for 31 days. Actually, 30 days, but I always take 31 days. Reason is when you take the house off the market so and you relist in 31 days, it looks like brand new. So it's brand new listing. Instead of actually having 120, 150 days DOM, days on the market, now you have day one. So it's fresh listing. So you will attract another buyer, especially if you have done new pictures, new staging, etc.
Now, would that have to cancel the listing or just wait for it to expire? Or what's the best way to do that?
To follow up with all the paperwork, you will have to get cancellation of the listing. But when you cancel the listing, sign the new listing agreement with a new date. So, yes, has to be canceled. Not temporarily taken off the market, but has to be canceled.
Okay.
In the MLS. So, next one is actually keep your listing active on social media. So, regardless of what you're doing, so advertising social media, Facebook still being number one, Instagram is following. There's other media such as actually YouTube. You can target people locally. I don't know if people knew, but you can target people similar like on Facebook, you know, short video, like advertising video before the video. So you can target people, everybody who lives in that specific zip code, and then you can put demographics too. And then every time they open the videos on YouTube, they see your ad first about the listing. The next one would be engage local residents and neighbors. That's huge, especially when you're doing open houses. I know you're doing lots of open houses, so you reach out via postcards or door hangers to the neighbors, you know, open, you know, this Saturday and Sunday, etc. Because neighbors, they have friends and family, so if they're very good friends and very good family, they wanted them to move close by. So this is their chance to, you know, select their own neighbors, right?
Right.
Bringing the buyers to your listing. That's very helpful. And the last one, if all these advertising, they don't work, I always reach out to other agents, offering them additional bonuses. Let's say right now in Sacramento, we have 16,000 agents, right? So if 16,000 agents have in average one potential buyer, you have 16,000 buyers. Now let's reach out to those 16,000 agents and offer them $1,000 bonus, $2,000 bonus if they bring us offer by March 1st or whatever the date is. That way, actually, we now we targeting agents instead targeting buyers. Yeah, so that's a good approach, actually, selling the listings if they're sitting on the market long.
Let me ask you a question, Amir. Is it also a good idea? I'm looking at that offer buyers, agents, incentives, and I've done that too. What about offering the buyers incentives, putting that in the confidential remarks, or, you know, you'll cover part of the closing costs for the buyers? Is that something that would be a good idea?
You could, but those buyers, they don't see the
They don't see it, but their agents see it.
Agent, then you, again, going to the agents, right?
Yeah.
And then agents may bring the buyers to see other houses too. Unfortunately, lots of agents are greedy, so they will go after, you know, higher commission, right? So if you offer them higher bonuses, commission plus bonus, you have a higher chance to get a buyer for your house.
So what I mentioned is something you can do during an open house. Which I've done too.
Yeah, if you're offered talking to buyers directly, yes.
You're talking to buyers directly and say, hey, you use me and, you know, I'll cover part of your costs, your closing costs or something, which we're allowed to do through escrow, you know.
Yeah, and keep in mind, so you can do this only if they're not working with other agents.
Yes, right.
Very important.
Exactly, yeah.
if the buyer has already an agent, do not intervene, so they have to, you know, work. That's code of ethics, what we have to.
Let's talk about staging. It was one of the things. How important do you think that is for some homes?
It's very good questions. I would say 50% of people are against staging, 50% are for staging. Yeah.
Damned if you do and damned if you don't.
So I was big. I didn't like staging before until we started using 3D model. So I mean, 3D model does make sense to do the staging, especially for the vacant homes, right? So you wanted to put some nice staging furniture in it in order to do the 3D model. If the house is already occupied, there's no need for staging, but you have to declutter the house. You have to get all the stuff out. If they don't want to pay the storage, which they don't have to, I always recommend sellers to put everything what they need in the garage. Garage can be full. from ceiling to the from the floor to the ceiling, because people know, yeah, people will be moving out garages, storage, right?
Right.
But staging, they do sell, but there's no really facts to see to show how quickly and how high will sell with or without staging. The only way how you can actually determine if you have exactly two houses on the block and one is staged and another is not staged to see which one will sell. But it's nobody, I think, tested that way, and then it's hard to test.
Now, Bob did something interesting with this last listing he was sharing with me yesterday. Mm-hmm. You brought a person in. They were a stager, but what did they do? Why don't you explain what they did with the home? Because this was an occupied home.
This occupied home, and this stager had not done this before. Okay, they were wanting to do a partial stage, and for $500, and I went, I don't want to spend $500. I'm sorry, but I knew that the seller had already done a good job of decorating the home, and so I said, hey, can you guys just come in and repurpose what is in the house, and just and using your professional eye, just kind of redesign the house. And they said, you know, we've never done that, but, you know, a nice person referred you, so we'll do it, okay, because of the referral. Now, thank you very much. So they came in, they spent 2 hours, the seller took all these notes and completely redesigned the home. They went through every single room and did these adjustments, and it was absolutely brilliant what they did. I was boggled by the just adjusting something, moving something from the left to the right and right to the left, and that sort of thing just made the house pop. And when I did the open houses, I was sitting there almost like a little kid watching this. I'm going, watch what happens when these people show up. And people literally, they stopped at the entrance, looked around the house, and went, oh my gosh, this, I love this house. They fell in love as soon as they walked in the house. Mm-hmm. And I can attribute that to the staging. Mm-hmm. To the repurposing of it. Yep. And so they charged me a very reduced fee to do that because they didn't have to bring any furniture or anything like that.
Right.
And so I paid for their expertise.
Right, right.
Okay.
Right.
And then between the seller and the husband and wife, they moved everything around, cleaned it up. That was what nice. Happened. And so then did the 3D virtual tour on that, and it was magic.
Excellent.
That's a great idea. That's excellent. Great.
Yeah, it does help. I mean, every time, because lots of people cannot imagine the room staged or furnished, right? So if you help with this imagination, then you can win and selling a house fast and for top dollars. And on the other hand, keep in mind, so instead of reducing the price, let's say you decide to reduce the price by $10,000, $10,000, it's cheaper to do the staging instead of reducing the price.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Everybody fell in love with the house. 100%. In fact, I had people... They showed up from just the open house signs. They saw the house. They fell in love with it. They asked for the price, and they almost started crying because, I'm exaggerating, but they were so sad because they couldn't afford it. It was outside their price range. This house was magic because of that. And so I can't recommend enough what it means to try to do that when you're, like you said, trying to refurbish an existing listing.
Good. Good stuff there.
Well, I've got some information here that's really kind of cool. All right, so this is going to be brand new. I'm going to throw a quiz at you guys. Have any of you heard of hobby condominiums?
Hobby condominiums?
Hobby condominiums.
Is this like short-term rentals or no?
No, hobby condominiums, where you actually get a condo, and the idea is you're getting a space big enough to store your toys. Okay, like a boat or something like that. But you would also have a condo that you could actually turn into a man cave. Hmm. That you would actually go to. And they range from 800 to 2,000 square feet. And you can put in your toy vehicles. And these are all indoors. Okay, so they're not external things. So a lot of times people, you put a boat out in an exterior location. The weather starts to, blow it up. But then they also have... These guys are planning 10 hobby condo outlets throughout Folsom, Elk Grove, El Dorado Hills, Granite Bay, and Roseville.
Huh. Interesting.
And so they would they cost about $195 a square foot for each of them. It's not commercial, okay? It's for residential purposes, and they can do upgrades. They can put a kitchenette in it, cabinets, a wet bar, And it's all, and it could be something for storage. It could be used for man caves. It could be doing, you could have people coming over and you could just have a place to gather with your friends and that sort of thing. So you can actually outfit these interior spaces for entertainment, for parties and all that sort of thing. And so instead of you having to go the party at your house, you can have it over at your hobby condo. Cool. And then you could have a set of pool tables, lights,
pool table, all this sort of, your bar.
Yeah, but it's an it's an exterior location.
Card table.
Exactly.
Get and your gambling buddies over.
You can pump the music and the neighbors aren't going to complain because
and,
it's
and
in
there's
a
no wives to bother you. That's great.
There's no yeah. wives to bother you. But hobby condos, okay, coming to a nice area near you, but they're expecting to start this in 2020.
So, in Sacramento. I'm pretty sure they're doing somewhere else already.
Yeah, right? The first one is going to be in Lincoln.
Lincoln, okay. Where else you said? Elk Grove?
It's going to be in Lincoln, Folsom, Elk Grove, El Dorado Hills, Granite Bay, and Roseville.
Okay.
Okay.
Are they doing any other states? Or
no, this is a brand. This is a thing that's just unique to...
Now, are they condos? Are they actual condos? So like a storage space?
It's like a storage space, but it's they're taking a new take on that.
Okay.
And so that they're nice on the inside. Okay. They're not they're just... Livable. They have right. they have power, they have plumbing, they have, you know, elements in there so that you could, and so it's like an actual condo. I mean, and it would be, you know, you would have an
actual... 190, how much was it, a square foot?
They start at 195.
Wow.
195 per square foot.
So like $2,000 for a 1,000 square foot place?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so...
200,000.
Oh, you buy these things?
You're actually buying them.
Oh, you're buying them. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so you can actually have equity and you can turn around and sell them.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. After you're done.
Okay. I thought they were renting them.
No,
okay.
You're buying them.
Interesting.
At 195. As opposed to some people will rent a rental space for 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's just a space and they walk away with nothing.
Yeah.
It's smart.
Yeah. A great idea. So, but anyways, guys, it was great having you here. Next week, we're going to have another guest because Amira is off on another jaunt. And so we'll have another guest here that will talk about some nice things about social media.
Is it can Amir talk a little bit about Dubai? Because he did go to Dubai, which is a place that not many people will ever visit in their life. Just give us a few things that are interesting about the place.
It's incredible country. I mean, extremely clean. I mean, I've noticed people cleaning streets, you know, like almost 24/7. Yeah. One other thing where I noticed everybody standing on the pedestrian I'm crossing the street, so because the fine is like $120 for jaywalking, but everybody's staying there for 2 minutes, you know, 2, 3, 5 minutes. Another incredible thing is all freeways they have lighting, so you just like you know driving in the daylight. Gas is cheap, of course. Very nice country, open-minded. I think Pope was visiting them last week. So it's many, many tourists, many, many people outside of all over the world living there and working there. So it was a good experience.
Did you go to that Dubai? Did you go to that tower?
Yeah, Burj Khalifa, the highest building in the world. So that was a nice experience too. So they're going to the extreme. You have Ski Dubai. You can ski in the middle of desert, right? So I didn't go skiing, but you have a big crazy aquarium in the Dubai Mall, you know, with great white sharks and sharks. I mean, huge aquarium in the middle of the mall, yeah.
And you guys went outside the city, and what happened? Explain what happened. You got stuck in the sand?
Yeah, just wanted to take the pictures and then pulled over and stuck in the sand. Yeah.
We get stuck in snow here.
That's right.
Interesting.
It was good. That's definitely great. Four-wheel drive there.
Yeah.
In the sand.
Definitely. Oh, dear. That's great. I'd love to hear some more stories. So.
Yeah, that's interesting.
All right. So come back next week, and we'll have some more great information on social media advertising.
All right. Sounds great, good. Guys.
See you guys.
Take care.
See you.
Thank you for listening to Real Estate Steps Podcast. We'll be back next week with some fresh topics about real estate news that's pertinent and relevant to you. You can follow us at Facebook or Twitter at Real Estate Steps. Be sure to subscribe to us at your favorite podcast streaming site. Also, you can follow us at realestatesteps.net and contact us, email us. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you again for listening, and we'll see you next week.